This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This video is sponsored by Voxy.
Hello and welcome back to the Blues Focus podcast with me, Tommy Kelsall, Paul Hipkiss and John Graham. Good evening, guys. How are we all?
Evening. All good?
Evening, Tommy.
Good evening, good guys. Yeah, very good. In today's episode, we'll be discussing the purchase of the Birmingham Wheels site ahead of the second open house in April. Now, of course, this has spurred a lot of interest amongst people on social media. Because obviously new site obviously means a new stadium, potentially a new stadium on the horizon. And Birmingham Live reported today, 10:38 this morning, rumours of a new multi-sports super stadium. It's a very exciting idea, but let's jump straight into it. Paul, coming to you first, what's your initial thoughts on the purchase of the site?
Yeah, it's a very exciting announcement. It's obviously something that appeals to a lot of people, and the thought of, you know, that in the future is very exciting, like I've said, but a bit like John said before we went live, you know, I can't see past Friday at the moment. It's hard to see past Friday, isn't it? And then Monday, you know, we just want to get this season out of the way now and survive. And then I think everything, you know, things like this then will be even more exciting. But right now, we just need to focus on staying in the league, don't we? And then, you know, I think we can focus on other stuff as well as the new stadium. But the fact that it's even in the conversation and it's been announced and this is the plan is obviously, you know, really exciting news. It really is. And when you think about what they've done to St Andrews as well in a short space of time with this on the agenda as well, that's even more impressive, isn't it?
Mm. No, 100%. Yeah. John, you were saying before we joined the, before we came on, yeah, that you were been massively impressed with all the owners apart from one particular mess up from the board and everything, which was obviously the Rooney appointment. But with this news coming out, does it still maintain that opinion that you're very pleased with the owners and the work that they've done?
100%. I think you've only got to see, just as you come to St Andrews now, you sort of feel a bit of pride in the club. I mean, you know, they've sort of done all the bits that have needed to be done for, you know, years and years and years, and just the LED screens on the cop as you go into the ground. Trying to do things with street food, and they've obviously listened to the supporters a lot. They've done something about it. It's really visible, and I think that's a hit with the supporters because it's always good to be heard, which I think has been lacking for many, many years. So I think they've always looked to do the right thing, and this is just I think an example of, hate to use the word project, but let's go with the word project, of where they want to take the club long term. And maybe it's quite a clever piece of timing. Obviously, everybody is focused on the short term, but, you know, we've all been fans for many, many years. And, you know, it's not just about this season. Of course, we want to stay up. It's going to be really important. But it's important that we've got a vision. We've been lacking that as well. You can't just go from season to season hoping for the best. You know, there's got to be some concrete foundations, which, unlike our current ground, we haven't got. And you know, they've obviously ploughed a lot of money into the grounds, and fair play, you know, as I said, the whole atmosphere and everything they've done about the, you know, the pre-match activations, we're actually punching our weight, I think, as far as, you know, the brand and everything that we stand for. I just think that And I don't think, I was saying to my lads this morning, you know, I love St Andrews. I've had some just amazing, amazing nights there. I really have. And Saturday afternoons, whenever it's been, just had the best times, had some absolute horror stories as well. but I think that, you know, time is probably now. They can't really do a lot with that, with the current sort of, you know, the land that they have, you know, with the limitations. You've got sort of railway ends, then you're sort of the main stand, you're encroaching on people's houses. It's just not really a site that I don't think you can develop. It's a pain in the ass to get to. So as far as that emotional bond is concerned, it'll always be there, but ultimately it's with the badge, not necessarily with the grounds. Mm-hmm. And I think fair play. I'm really chuffed that they're looking at it. You know, yes, it's been announced today, but it's going to be, crikey, you know, at least 5 years down the line, I'd say. And there's a lot to be done on the field before we move in, that's for sure.
Sorry, Tommy, the journey is like absolutely horrible to St Andrews and back as it is right now. So the thought of, like, let's say, you know, we do get really, you know, big and much, much, much better. If we are filling a 50,000 all-seater stadium, then I can't imagine, you know, what the journey home is going to be like. I'll probably have to take a sleeping bag or something.
Kicking out on the train at the end of the game, yeah. I was just going to ask, do you think there is anything in the timing of this announcement? Because obviously there's the open house that's coming up, but they're going to be talking about ambition anyway. But also as well, with the stuff on the pitch as well, do you think with this sort of new bright idea to keep the fans excited whilst we're in a bit of relegation scrap, do you think there's do you think they've seen an opportunity to make it now for this purchase rather than perhaps at the end of the season?
But for me, 100%, you know, they're good operators. They've demonstrated that, as I said, they've done and said all the right things since they've sort of taken over. There's been a lot of bad news over the last, ever since Tony got ill, the results have gone pear-shaped, which then brings the Rooney thing back into the equation, which they obviously just want to forget that ever happened. And I think, you know, that sort of, you know, momentum works both ways. And I think the sort of the bad vibes around the club, and maybe I've even seen people questioning the ownership, which I think is just wow.
Yeah.
but I think, you know, they want to try and take control of the narrative a little bit, you know, look at the future, try and get something positive there and really put a marker down to the fans to say they're here to stay and probably appreciate where we're at right now. But right now isn't the future of the club. And I 100% don't put this down to a coincidence in any way, shape or form.
No. Tommy, you're only, what, 22?
21, I am.
21, wow. Mm-hmm. So what would be your top three moments at St Andrews in your life so far?
You know what, there isn't that many, because obviously old Blues games, you know, you consider in like the runs to the old cup finals and everything, it would have gotten much closer to those times in like the 80s, the 70s and stuff like that. But I think, I don't know, because a lot of the great games I've been to have been away in most recent years. So none really at St Andrews in recent years. But I'd say the West Ham Carling Cup semi-final is probably up there. It's probably the best, actually. You can't really argue with that. And also beating the Villa in the quarterfinals. I'm struggling for a third, though. I don't know, really. Perhaps, I think maybe, if we're speaking on like how I felt the game was going to transform us, maybe the Leeds game at home, because there was something at the start of the season where you felt like everything was going so well, you can't see where it's going to go wrong. And naturally, I should have known that looking back at this point in the season that something would have definitely gone wrong, whether it had been catastrophic or very small. You know, it was just been Blues that way, really. But yeah, it's tricky to think of that third one. Maybe that Leeds game. I don't know.
Same question to you, John. I know you and me are a similar age, aren't we? But moments?
Well, any Villa victory at home, obviously. You bundle those together. There aren't many, but bundle them together. Bruges at home. Never experienced anything like that at St Andrews when we equalised.
That's true.
Ipswich semi-final. Was good. You know, we absolutely drummed them, and you know, there was a bit of work to do. There's lots of, I think, memorable games, but probably going a little bit into maybe moments and periods of time. and sort of times where, you know, turning up to St Andrews expecting to win, which didn't happen very often, but under Rowett it did for a season. Yeah. And obviously, the season got older with my kids then, and we had the, you know, just a fabulous season of, you know, just going there expecting something positive. So, I'll certainly remember that season and any game, not necessarily for the right reasons, but, you know, Stoke at home, pitch invasion, utter chaos. There's been a few of them. Going on a Tuesday night when there's 4,000 in, which I did on the, I mean, it was just, it's chalk and cheese now to what we experienced. But like I said, some amazing times, some memorable moments for good and bad reasons. But it's just things like, I know I sound like a real old fucking, can I get a pie without leaving 10 minutes before half time, please? And it doesn't help, you know, I do quite a few stadium tours when I can be to the new Spurs ground, and you're just like, wow. It's just something, I think, that, you know, as I said earlier, some amazing experiences at Blues. But you know, I was a mascot in 1984, you know, scored a penalty against David Seaman, you know, that's how old I am. So it does give me a lot of amazing memories, but we have to move on. I think there is, like, it's a bit of a millstone, to be honest. It's just, whenever, you know, we've said typical Blues before, the pod, I think we just need a fresh start. You know, there's been so much negativity for, you know, not just the last 10 years, but even when the Golds were in, a lot of fans wanted them out. Just some stability. It'd just be lovely.
Yeah. One of my first St Andrews memories was when we played Forest in the FA Cup in, I think it was about 80. When was that? About 80.
Fifth round.
I nearly got crushed. I was only about 10, and I nearly got crushed. Like, my dad had to carry me over. It was just horrendous. I think we lost 1-0, didn't we? Gary Crosby scored.
It was. Yeah, and that was one of the first. I think there was about 25,000 on.
Yeah.
And we were used to having like half of that, if that. Yeah. And the difference was just, you know, when there was a bit of a surge, it was, not ideal.
Definitely, so, yeah.
And then 91 as well against Brentford in the Leyland DAF Cup as well, the first leg, I think. Christ. It was. Yeah.
You see, you know, most of the teams are talking about, you know, that decisive win to get a promotion or win the league.
Yeah. We're in the fucking Leyland DAF, yeah. Honestly. Yeah. Honest to God, honestly, what we like.
I love Trevor's reign as well, and the wins over Wolves and the Baggies as well, when Dealey scored that goal from running from the halfway line against the Baggies. That was great, weren't it? And as you say, John, as well, Ipswich in the Cup, and, you know, even in the Premier League as well, you know, the Wolves game sticks to mind as well, when Phillips got the brace.
That's a great goal.
Yeah, when they thought they'd won it 1-0, and we came back and won 2-1, which was amazing. But obviously the first one for me has to be, the number one for me has to be that first Monday night game against Villa when we beat them 3-0. It was just incredible that night.
Yeah, I mean,
you're right, John, any win over Villa, but that first one for me was just extra special, you know?
It really demonstrated, like, the, I mean, obviously I wasn't alive at that time, but even just watching it demonstrates the amazing atmosphere that St Andrews has on people, because I think you could put any team in that stand and you can have the amazing feel. Because I think what's interesting to know about people's ideas for new stadiums and everything, I think a lot of Blues fans are wanting the same feel, at least for the stadium, because it's quite compact, but it's also quite spacious. So you've got a lot of the pitch to look at, and you've got like a lot of space on the other side as well. I mean, the main stands are fantastic stands to sit in, because you look at the Kop and the Tilson, and the railway end as well is amazing to see as well, really. But it sort of keeps all the atmosphere in as well, so it doesn't get lost. Like when you go to these new bowl-shaped stadiums, they're fantastic for like the viewing and everything. Like I remember going to West Ham's ground when we played them in the FA Cup a couple of seasons ago, and it's great. You can get a fantastic view of everything from wherever you sit in the ground. But when you're singing, like the atmosphere, it seems to just disappear. It's like you have to really shout just to keep it going a bit louder and everything. But with St Andrews, because it's quite close and compact, you can just hear everything, and it seems like that is built within us as well as fans particularly. And like when people are saying like what we want from stadiums. There's like there's discrepancies over little bits here and there, but a lot of it is down to the very core details of St Andrews, really. I really think the owner should tap into that if they want to rebuild a stadium out in Birmingham, Wales. But just before we quickly move on to the a bit more into the conversation, I do just want to point out another tip from Edgy 212. Thank you very much, mate. Really appreciate you. Keep on coming back and donating to us, man. Donating, we're not a charity. They're just giving us a little bit of money. Well, as you know, I can't say that, can I? let's have a look through some of the comments before I get myself cancelled. Do you think the new stadium, when it be built, will be used for other sports? At St Andrews, throwing that question out there to one of you guys.
Yeah, I think. I mean, again, said it before the pod, you know, bearing in mind these American owners and that they're not going to do things half-assed. I think they're going to shove all in. I mean, again, using the Spurs ground as an example, that has been designed to keep the noise in. I think you're absolutely right, Tommy. I think these guys will, they'll design something to keep that sort of St Andrews atmosphere. I've got no doubt, but I think it will be, you know, multi-purpose. Would they think about, and I think there probably will be Tom Brady NFL games in Birmingham. Anything's possible, you know. It's a blank piece of paper. And it's one of those, it's got to be a 365 commercial entity, you know, whether that be, you know, various sports, hopefully things like concerts and just a proper stadium where, you know, from an FFP point of view and profitability, It's all gonna count. It's all gonna be important. And I think we can see something that will be completely multifunctional, and it'll need to be because it's not going to be cheap, is it?
That is true.
Yeah, they'll have concerts on there as well, won't they, and stuff like that.
I think that's something that we can really tap into as a club, you know, because I think as well, like when they say like multi-sports arenas, but like concerts and, you know, other things like that, they're really just as important, you know, because, you know, you might not be able to attract a big boxing fight. You might not be able to attract a big NFL game. But if you can get somebody to play in Birmingham, you know, artists are always traveling the country to play in different events, you know, in different venues. So like if we have a proper multi-purpose built arena, really, because it's not, well, it's a stadium, but it's an arena really at the same time, then, you know, people will come and use our facilities for that, you know, because if we can have a disassembled pitch as well, which I think would be really key for a multi-sport stadium, then you can have, I don't know, Ed Sheeran on there or all those new bands as well. I have absolutely no idea about modern music. Honestly, my knowledge on this sort of stuff is not very good. It's football and maybe a little bit of boxing. That's it, really.
Cov have done it. You know, Cov, you know, it's been a bit of a disaster, that stadium, really. But they have put on massive concerts there.
Rolling Stones were there, weren't they? Not long ago.
So I think it's just a given. It's just, what else do they do? They could put a casino on there. Do they put a hotel on there? I mean, there's so many opportunities. So there'll be no stone left unturned with these lot. There's no doubt. It'll be something we can be, I have no doubt, immensely proud of. And it'll be a bit of a Christ, you know, I think a bit of a pinch me moment when we play there for the first time, because, you know, we've just gone through three seasons of a half built stadium. So our expectations are managed at this point.
Yeah. So, I think anything you can give us really that looks new and has a nice, good feel to it, we'll be happy with, really. Because anything, over the things that we've had over the last few years, we'll be happy with just a stadium, really. To be honest. Give us a tin shed with a football pitch on, we'll be happy with it, really.
Yeah. Has there been any talk as to what's going to happen to St Andrews once they start this development?
I don't think there has, but I would assume housing. Like, it's quite obvious, you know, there's a lot of, like where I live up north, is like any bit of land, they'll be destined to get on for a housing estates or anything. It's just it's in demand at the moment, so that's probably what I imagine it will be for, or maybe shopping centres or something like that.
Could it not be the training ground, or, you know,
I mean, it'd be great if it was. It just depends on what the, I don't know, it depends if someone else comes in with a better offer to buy up the ground or whatever.
I don't
love it.
I don't think the decision's been made on the real estate value of St Andrews. You know, it's not like Highbury. You know, you know, there's not going to be a clamour for people to live in Small League. No disrespect, but they're just not. You know, it's one of those that they're not sort of saying, well, you know, we sell the ground, we can sort of get 80% of the funding to build a new one. It's just, I think they've just looked at it a practical perspective and said, from a future income generation point of view, what does St Andrews look like versus a new site? And the new site is going to be by a factor of about 20 to the good. So I think it's just a bit of cut your losses. And yeah, I'm sure housing will go on it, but you know, it's a little bit out of the way. And like I said, you know, it's not like it's in central London where it's going to command an absolute fortune. So yeah. I think it's just they just want to get out.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be good if they could make the journey, like I've already mentioned, like a bit less painful, you know, especially when it starts to be a bigger complex than that, you know.
Mm. Well, I think with where the stadium could potentially be, again, this is all just basic speculation at the moment. Nothing has been clarified. Where it is, it's right next to a train station that runs directly into New Street. So you can have, you know, with all the trains coming in from the south and from the north as well, you can have people travel into the stadium very easily by train, which I know is a very preferred method of travel by away fans. And also it gets you directly into the city centre as well. And that keeps you connected with the things in there as well. Because I know a lot of people like to go into town before the game. And then obviously the walk from town centre into the Small Leaf is a bit of a trek. You know, it's about half an hour walk really. And, you know, you could take a taxi, but it's just wasting your money. But a £2 train ticket or something like that straight into the ground, it's like literally a 5-minute walk from the train station. So There is connectivity, that is for sure. And I feel like with a bigger fan park as well that could potentially be on the site, then you open up in more revenue ways as well then, which I think is what, you know, Knighthead have just been like, immediately trying to get back into the club, you know, because obviously they've had all the investments back into the club, but they want that to return as well, like any business would really. So, yeah, I think that there's opportunities for better travel and better ways of travel as well, because car parks surely will be on their agenda, obviously with all the how people's cars have been nicked as well, you know, fronts of the cars have been ripped off.
Just talking shorter term, do you think it would be a good idea if the club was to put on a fan park or something in St Andrews for the Euro, for the England games?
There is. Well, that's a great shout, to be fair. I mean, I've got a few notes from the last open house. We will talk about that a little bit in a second. But obviously, the last open house was in November. First one was. But they did speak about fan park. If I can find it where it was in the... I think it's in the infrastructure plans that Myth spoke about. Yeah.
They're definitely doing it.
I know that they've made a start with it on the... outside the cop with all the grill house and sort of street kitchen food stuff and that, you know. But yeah, I think that's a good idea, you know, because it would keep the interest around the ground as well, wouldn't it? It's not just for match days, it would be for other events as well, which would appeal for people who would be more inclined to then come to concerts at the Blues and stuff like that.
Yeah, with my sales head on, and that's my profession, you know, I can just see a big opportunity for the club there, because if you can get all your season ticket holders together and all Blues fans together that support England as well, do you know what I mean? Why can't we all jump up and down and celebrate together? Do you know what I mean? When we score in that final, hopefully. And
when we equalise against Iceland in round 16. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It would be good if we could all share the moment together, wouldn't it? Don't you think? You know?
Yeah, 100%. I think most people would do that as well, you know. Yeah.
If they put like a massive screen up in front of the, you know, in front of the Gilmerick, you know, and got some good flooring on the pitch or something like you have at a concert. And then I think that could really work, and maybe get some stands around the pitch with the street food and the bars, you know what I mean? When the weather's nicer as well. It could really work. It could really bring some money into the club, couldn't it?
I think if we get further into the competition as well, it would massively generate the revenue sales as well. Because the thing is, I've seen it with Liverpool when they made the Champions League final a couple of seasons ago. You know, they've always had that massive fan base, so they'll turn up for whatever. But when it's a big event like a Champions League final, they will come to those events, you know, that you put on, you know, they're obviously putting the Champions League game on. But like, if England make the final and say, look, it's like a quid to enter, you get all this food, all this drink, you know, you can go and watch the game all together, a big fan park at St Andrews. I think it would work, you know. And they spoke on this other things as well around the ground, really, with obviously you mentioned the fan parks as well, but with the new sound system, which I don't know, has it been installed yet? I don't think it has, but they've obviously done the new floodlights as well. There's Wi-Fi that they're putting in, new LED screens that will go beside the main stand and both sides of the main stand, so it'll have more of a have a better effect, really. I think that they're definitely setting it up for being an arena more than a stadium, you know, because like old-fashioned football stadiums are going out of fashion, which I'm not really a big fan of, really. I prefer to keep that traditional look to a football stadium in particular, but I have no objection to like the sort of modernization of how you get your secondary information, I would almost say, because like you get the advertising on the boards and everything, and then the PA systems and everything, so that needs to be improved. And we know this from experience as well, like the board is always too bright and the sound from the PA is always too crackly and too horrible, really. It's just they're improving on those things, but I think this is what they're going to mention in this upcoming open house, is the fact that they want this ambition to be worthwhile, you know. Because they can put all the money into it as they like, but if it don't pay off or it has an impact with what we want and what the customers get, then it'll be a waste of time.
But ultimately, they control that. So, you know, the people that come and fill a fan zone, the people that buy more season tickets, are driven by what decisions you're making. And again, don't want to go back to Rooney, but I'm going to use it as a key element to it all. That decision derails everything. And you can be you can have as much money in the world as you want, but when it's like any business, if you make something as just cataclysmic as that as a decision, that, you know, you in the first part of the season, fans were engaged, they loved it, it felt like it used to, everybody was gushing over it. They had absolutely everything. Now, I'm not saying that Eustace was the answer, because it's really easy to say that now. But he probably earned the right. Either they were going to sack him, they should have sacked him the two games before, you know, the two games that he won. Or you've got to give him a bit of time, because we had a bit of momentum, and then make whatever decision you want at that point. But and I think people would have accepted Rooney a little bit more if we were on the arse end of a bad run, but we weren't. And just, you know, it's that ripple effect of you make that decision. And over time, people won't buy season tickets, and they won't stay behind, and they won't do lots of things that you can spend all the money in the world, have amazing street food. But if you haven't got that sort of, you're up for it and you're motivated when you actually go to the ground and you just rock it up because it's Blues and I turn up and I love it, and you know you're probably going to lose and served up with some pretty ordinary stuff by a manager who hasn't got a clue, you're not going to spend your money. You're going to be absolutely demoralised, and you're just going to sit there waiting for it to finish.
Yeah. We've experienced that enough times, haven't we, over the last four in particular now. But that is what it all boils down to, isn't it, John? The results on the pitch, you know, that is what keeps the heartbeat of a football club going. That's what we all go there for, isn't it? The 3 points.
I just think, yes, 3 points, 100%. But just having what we had at the start of this season, a collective togetherness, just a belief that we'd got our club back, and there was a bit of passion there. And okay, you know, it wasn't Brazil 1970, but we never have been, you know. Yeah. But it was there, we had it, and it just, for it to be taken away, it was just like this.
The divide wasn't there at the start of the season, was it?
You know, this better be good. You know, you put your balls on the line here, it better be good, and it went pear shaped, and they've lost momentum, and they know that. Well, they've 100% lost momentum, and you know, everything they've said at the, you know, previous open hours, and what you said, Tommy, they're probably delivered against all of it. They're not bullshitters.
No,
they're in it for the right reasons, and I love them. Mm. And you know, everybody makes a mistake, and they just made a good one.
Yeah. It was almost a carbon copy of Rowitz as Zola, wasn't it? You know, that's the same sort as well. It was a bit earlier, actually. It was October, wasn't it, when Rooney came? Was it around October time?
October, yeah.
But it's done now anyway. It's just a shame that Tony got unwell, because if he hadn't, then I'm certain that we wouldn't be where we are now, you know, and he wouldn't even have any relegation concerns, but it's just unfortunate. And obviously his health's more important than anything, so hopefully we can see him back on the training ground with the lads in the summer, you know, and back in the dugout for next season. in the championship. That's the main thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think with the open house that's coming up, though, like, what can we expect? Because obviously, I don't think are any of us going. Blues Focus, we are going as a brand, but I'm not going. I don't think. Well, at the moment, I'm not going. I haven't heard anything further on, but I don't think any of us are going, are we?
I was at the last one.
Yeah, I was at the last one too, but for the upcoming one, have we heard any invitations might be getting?
I'll keep checking the porch for
it. Is this some really bad attempt at a plea? call me whenever you want. You know, I'm desperate for a ticket.
I'm on speed dial. No, it's mostly on the fact that I just wondered whether what we might be able to expect really from the next one, because ambition, it's quite a broad sort of statement of what we could expect really, because I don't know really. It's like, are we talking about ambition off the pitch? Are we talking about ambition on the pitch? You know, because the ambition surely for on the pitch is just to stay up really. But I don't really, it feels like, because obviously the first one was called Transformation. So you understand that one a bit better, because obviously Rooney had just been put in charge. And then, so this is the transformation of the team. We just had all this renovation across the stadium and everything. So it's going to be like, you know what to expect, you know, and you've been experiencing it over the last few months and everything. But I don't know about this one.
What's it called?
It's called Ambition. So I'm not entirely sure what they're getting at here with it.
I just think it's going to be really difficult. As much as, again, right thing to do, good to speak to people, put yourself out there. That's what all the fans want. They want that access. It's just, it ain't great timing. But just because, you know, we're right in the middle of it, and whether we like it or not, it is all short-term right now. And the ambition, you know, we could probably say, we could list down over the next 5 years what their ambition is as an ownership on the pitch and off the pitch. I think we could probably all nail that within the next 5 minutes. And I think that, you know, they genuinely will strive to do that.
Mm.
But, you know, if there's a lot of fans in the room, it's going to be, how's Gary got on for the last 10 days? That's just that the ambition is, you know, championship football. And I think it will be difficult for them to try and switch the narrative past this season. They will do it. But I think there's going to be a bit of shuffling going on. And so, you know, that's amazing. But which, again, you know, unfortunately, that's been sort of...
It could have been... The ambition could have been saved till the third one, perhaps, you know, just before the start of the next season, because it would have been perfect timing for that. But I don't know, ambition when you're right towards the end of the season and in a relegation battle. Obviously, they've planned this months ago, but to still have it in a position where you're still not entirely sure whether you're going to be safe or not, then I don't know, that something isn't quite connecting with this one like it was, like it felt like the last one, you know what I mean? Because when they announced the last one, every Blues fan was like, wow, this is going to be fantastic. And it was fantastic. You know, it was very transparent, very open and very insightful. But this one, I can't help but feel that it's going to leave us feeling with a few unanswered questions, perhaps.
Wait, so should you just call it Don't Panic?
Everything's fine. Stop worrying. We're going to be safe.
Don't worry.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Everything will be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just on a turbulent flight at the minute, aren't we? You know, there's a lot of turbulence, and we just need to get through this cloud, if you like, and come out the other end and survive. That's the main thing. I'm excited. I really am excited for the summer and the next transfer window, if we do, because I think, you know, we're going to have a change in fortunes, hopefully.
Yeah.
100%. To be fair, Paul, turbulence is probably better. I think that frames it.
Yeah.
That should be the word.
That should be the title of the open house.
Part of the open house.
Yeah. Turbulence. Please fasten your seatbelts. We're going through a turbulent bit. I think it probably should have been more on passion or something like that. I'm struggling for words that would define where we are at the season. I think don't panic is quite good, though.
Determination would have been another good word for it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I just don't want to dig them out because I completely understand that this would have been months in planning this would have been. And I imagine what they'll be putting on offer will be fantastic once again, you know, because like you were saying earlier, John, you know, they haven't put a foot wrong off the pitch. It's just the work on the pitch that just hasn't been up to standard just yet. So I don't know. I think they just, I personally think that they need more concentration on exactly where we are right now. You know, we can't be looking further ahead to, maybe if we survive then this, and if we don't survive then this. I get that that's how business works and everything, they need to look further on into the future for the football club, but we're in a very current stage as a football club and as a very current period of time where we need to focus on the next game, then the next game, then the next game until we are safe, really.
Mm-hmm. I think that
as you said, months in the planning, and with the nature of an open house, it's, you know, they're there to be challenged, to be questioned, to share their thoughts. If they'd have not done it, based on everything that's happened with Tony and where we're at, then again, it's counterproductive. So they couldn't really, I don't think they can win. I think, you know, they've done the right thing by, you know, sort of keeping to the schedule and the commitment, but, I think they're just not going to get away from the right here and now, and they'll be ready for that. I've got no doubt. I think they'll be well drilled and well prepared.
I'm pretty confident now that we're going to be okay. I'll be honest. Now we've got Gary Rabbit in, I don't think there's anybody better in the short term to do that for us with the players we've got as well. You know, I think he's the way he plays. You know, the way he gets his teams to play will suit the players that we've got right now. And then talking longer term, I can really see Tony Mowbray taking us into the top half of the division, you know, in the next sort of, even next season, stroke the season after, you know, depending on what we can spend in the summer and making sure we get recruitment right and the right players in to play the way that we want to play. And obviously to be good enough as well, to be in a team that's playing in the top 10, I'm going to say in the top 10, you know, in this division.
It's been a while since we've had a good top 10 finish. Do you know what I mean? It's been ages since we've even finished in the top half, isn't it? You know, I think the last time was probably Rabbit, wasn't it? His last season. So it's one of those really where as ambition as it comes, really, I think that's the most realistic ambition we can expect in this current form of Blues, really. Because it'd be great to think, yes, obviously next season we'll dust off the cobwebs and everything and we'll get a top six finish or something like that. But I don't know, I just can't see that happening at the moment. And I mean, actually, just side point, I think Dan makes an interesting point though. It's like, will Tony Mowbray appear at the open house or do a video for it, which I think would actually be a good lifter for the fan base as a club. You know, it'd be good to see for everybody to, like, he's doing okay, really, just like a short message or something like that to really see that people are doing well. It might just give them a little boost for the rest of the season, really.
Personally, with obviously the situation with Tony, we don't know, and I hope he makes obviously the recovery we all want, and he's there at the start of next season. It's just a massive unknown, and we've just got to hope he gets better, and you know, whether he comes back and manages, as long as he gets better, then that's the answer. I think as you're saying, Paul, with Gary, and again, I've got to give him a lot of credit for making that decision. It's all right, everyone's saying, got it, he's got to go, you know, Venus isn't working out, but it still wasn't a huge, you know, it was enough games, but there was a lot that, you know, we didn't get the rub of the green. I don't think we played appallingly. We weren't brilliant, but we didn't play appallingly. So I think there would have been a temptation to just maybe ride it out. I think they've made exactly the right decision. Now, am I confident? I'm as confident as I can be. But again, I think the next two games are really gonna, you know, we can put a marker down one way or the other. And it's just whether have we got a better squad than last time he was here? Probably. I think we're probably the spine probably isn't as good. We're desperate up front, as we all know. And we just got to make sure that. I mean, is Bielik fit? Is he likely to be fit?
Should be, yeah. His injury was only till the end of March, so he should be fit.
Because, you know, you can certainly draw a line from this horrific run with his injury. I'm not saying it's all because of that, but it's just that steadying sort of just calms it all down, whether he's playing centre-half or centre-mid. And if we can have a Bielik and Sanders until the end of the season, I am ecstatic with that. Because I think Sanderson needs him. So I think if he's got all the players fit, other than obviously Juki, as we said, it probably won't be. But I think if the rest of the squad are fit, I'd be really disappointed if he doesn't get a safe. Because I think he's better than he had before.
Definitely. We will have a quick preview of the QPR game right before and a sponsor from our... I always mess this bit up after a short break from our sponsors.
This video is brought to you by Voxy, the pay-as-you-go mobile network that gives you unlimited social media for as little as £10 a month. Sign up today using the link in the description to stop eating your data away while on the move. Voxy has got you covered with unlimited social media, video and music, all with 5G ready in every Voxy plan. And you'll also get a free £20 PayPal, Just Eat or Amazon voucher. So be sure to sign up today. Now, back to the video.
So the QPR game on Friday, Easter Friday, whatever it is, Good Friday, that's it. Hopefully it will be a Good Friday.
Yeah.
With obviously recent form that we're going into this game, and obviously QPR have been picking up a few decent results here and there. I'll come to you, John, first. What do you think to the game on Friday?
It's just difficult. It's difficult because we've had so many different styles of football this season. I think we can pretty much nail down what Rabbit's going to try and do. You know, if we get 30% possession, I think we'll all be happy. But I'm here for it. I don't mind it. As I said, I've really enjoyed his team. It was an honest team. It was a fair, you know, in contrast to a lot of other managers, it was a successful team. I think he relies heavily on fullbacks, and I think we've got some brilliant fullbacks. You know, there's always that sort of early channel ball that Cadiz, I can just see him playing it now, you know, just no messing, get it in the channel. I don't know, it's not necessarily popular right now, but, you know, we're not going to be knocking it around. We've certainly proved that we can't do it consistently. We can do it in spots, but, you know, this has got to be 90 minutes of football.
You know what? I know you say it won't be popular. I think it will be massively popular at this point in the season because we've been drained from all this possession.
I just think if you had a straw poll of 10 people, how do they want football to be played? They'd all be saying, well, you know, the sort of Man City style. Perhaps, so I think popular in context of football, but I'm totally with you. I cannot wait to see 11 Blues players going at it, properly going at it. And we're just such a good... Over the last two seasons, when we high press with energy consistently, we're a cracking team. I genuinely believe that, you know, but we just don't do it consistently. We'll do it for 20 minutes or 30 minutes or take 10 minutes off and then just revert into a low block and invite people on, and we're awful at that. So I just think, you know, look, we need something out of the game. I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to walk all over them, because I just don't think that's the case. They're down there. They've been getting results. I think we're going to be bang up for it, because I think that's that's one of his strengths. And as I said before, I think we've got the players. My only worry is, you know, we haven't got that target man that he's always relied on with the style of football he plays. I don't want him to do square pegs, round holes, and just find somebody that's relatively big and just drop them up top. You know, it's time for a junior Dixon. I've been saying it for the last 3 months. And it's all right saying it's levels and, he's only scored in this, but we're not scoring anyway. So we can't do any worse because none of us, so he cannot do any worse and he'll be absolutely up for it. And we've got a few steady Eddies in the team, you know, whether it'd be interesting in that midfield, you know, Pike, Dizelle, those type of players that will try and get it down and play, or is he just going to go completely shut up shop and put a Bakuna and a James in or whatever? That's the unknown. I don't know. Gut feel, Bakuna, Sunjic has got a bit of kift and belt about him, not as good as a footballer, but just that, just a non-stop engine. I'd be surprised if he doesn't play because he's definitely a round player. And nothing goes through the middle of the park with Rowett at all.
No,
apart from carnage.
So, who do you think will be like his key player to use in the team?
I think Laird's got a big part to play in it. I think he's got a huge personality. I think he's got a ton of talent. I think he needs reining in a little bit. I think Rowett will give him the focus. Both play the same position. I think he'll look to give him that sort of a bit of magic dust. I think Sanderson's got, he's got to step up. He's got it for me. He's still got a bit to prove. Again, if he can get a tune out of the defenders, I'm really happy. And you know, Stansfield, he's a talent. You know, he's going to be looking to the players that can make a difference. And luckily, we've got some of those. You never know what Dembélé might have done over the last 10 days. You know, if he's really sort of stood out and he wants to give him a shot, then again, you know, Gary's had some good wide players in Blues teams in the past, like that have got a bit of talent and a bit of skill that will try and do things outside the danger areas, use their skill and take people on, which is a bit sort of low risk. But that, as I said, that's Gary. So again, he's got players like that. So I think Laird for me is a bit of a no brainer. I think Drama has been unbelievable as well. You know, I think he's been so solid. I think it's the people with the magic dust that are going to make the difference. I think he's still going to lean on players that are going to give him a solid 8.5 out of 10 every single game. But the reality is, and it's a bit of a cliche, this has got to be a collective. That's the only way we're getting out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a big thing for me is that we don't see Jordan James on the left again and we see him in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to see him in. I think he's best because in the short time Rooney was here, the best thing he did was play Jordan James in that 10 behind Stan.
Yeah.
He was popping a few balls away, wasn't he? So I'd like to see that again. And like you say, John, if you can get a tune out of Dembélé on the left and maybe Miyoshi on the right, that could be a good front three, you know, behind Stansfield. And then you want probably a Bielik and a Sunich to play in front of the back four, don't you? I would say in more in Rowett style of football rather than maybe a Pike and a Dizelle, you know. But who knows? We'll see.
I think the worry is if you take Bielik out of centre half. I mean, Buchanan, in fairness to him, I think he's done all right. He had a bit of a stinker against Southampton, but other than that, I think he's been pretty solid. Yeah. We just there, but when we get beyond that, we're into danger names. Hey, we're in Roberts. I mean, my confidence.
I haven't been impressed with him, though.
I mean, well, not Tyler Roberts. Your friend of mine. He can't do it again. He can't see off another manager. So, you know, if we've got Sanderson and Bielik, and then Sunjic and I don't know whoever else. I think Jordan James could do a job as a CDM. Just run about, just get your foot in. Because those positions for Rowett don't really contribute a lot. Everything is wide or everything's long down the middle. And as long as he's got players to fill those positions that can do something a bit different, then I think he'll be happy.
Yeah, because I really like Buchanan at centre-back. You know, obviously it gives us that balance being left-footed. And I think Drama and Laird are both too good to be left out as well, you know. So,
I'd be happy with that. I think, you know, Buchanan and Sanderson as centre-halves and Sunjic and Bielik in that holding pattern. I think it's solid, isn't it? It's solid. Yeah. It's just what else around it. I guess time will tell.
Sorry, Tommy.
That's all right. I think the most important thing, because I agree with both of you guys, actually, I feel like whichever one we play out of the two will be fine. Attacking-wise, though, we just need to be a bit more ruthless, which we haven't been all season. we showed it against Leicester, but we just lacked the quality to score, didn't we, away? You know, we had all the chances in on goal, we just could not find the back of the net. But whereas like in more recent games and pretty much all throughout the season, we just haven't pulled the trigger at the most important time. And we've been okay defensively. We've had a bit of a lull in recent games, but we haven't been like shockingly bad though. We've just been bad going forward, really, and that's where that needs to change, really, because I agree that both of your back fours, I think, sound pretty sound, really. I just don't feel like we're very dangerous going forward anymore, which we were before Rooney came in, and we were when we were, you know, having that first good spell with Mowbray as well. So I think that's the only thing that I would like to see in terms of the team. But yeah, I don't know. What score predictions are you going for then?
Ooh. I think we can nick it at QPR. I think we can get a 2-1 maybe. We'll go for a 2-1.
Who do you think scorers wise?
I think Stansfield will get one. And I'll go for Jordan James as well.
Yeah. I think brave man to say we're going to keep a clean sheet because I just can't see it.
2-1.
No, I think for this one, I'd take a point. I think just a good performance, take a point to take into the next game. But I wouldn't put it past Gary to shit out 1-0 and walk away with 3 points. I could definitely see that. Stink it out. 30% possession.
Well, I remember his first game for Blues when he first got put in charge was a 0-0 away at Wolves. And that was a solid performance, wasn't it? Because we'd just been off the back of that 8-0 against Bournemouth. And then to get a 0-0 away at Wolves is like, it's much better already. That is. I mean, we won against Watford then, who were top of the table. So the performances, I'm certain that he can definitely pull off a similar trick that he did last time.
Yeah, I think the one thing that he might not struggle with, but it's a fact, there's a lot of players out of contract to the end of the season.
Oh, an enormous amount.
And it's like, what have they got in the, you know, have they got any ticker? Are they playing for their new, not necessarily with Blues, but playing for a move, you know, need another club. But a lot of those players, they're not going to be a load of clubs knocking on the door to sign them up. So, again, that's an interesting dynamic. Can he rely on players? What desire is there? They might have had to show up on the training ground, but it'll be interesting after 20 minutes of, you know, competitive football, if they've actually got the desire to just play for the next 8 games and keep the get the club to a point where we can stay in the league, knowing they're not going to be there, because there's a few I probably wouldn't even have in the squad. We've been going for an hour, so I'm not even going to get into Hogan, but I wouldn't even have him in the squad. It's pointless. It's absolutely pointless. He could have been such a good player for us, and at times he has been. But Scott Hogan isn't the answer for the next 8 games for me. He just isn't. I would rather have said a Junior Dixon or a Donovan or somebody that's just, they've got a contract, their future's at the club, we're in it, just play without a bit of fear. But yeah, there's a few that would stink it out for me. And I don't think you can rely on them.
No. It's a big ask, though, isn't it, for a kid to be thrown into a relegation scrap for his professional debut?
Yeah, well, I'm not necessarily saying he starts, but I think they've got that, you know, that energy, 20 minutes to go, where if it's level or we need something or whatever it may be. I just think that, again, I think it's a collective. If you can weed out the bad apples, where you're saying, well, there's only 8 games left, you haven't been playing anyway, I just don't see it. You're not in my thinking. Again, that gives a collective feel. There's too many players that have had, it's not even 4, 5, 6 chances. There's a few players in that squad have been through about 8 managers. And it's time to move on. But he'll know that. He's an experienced manager, and I think he'll be able to spot the bluffers.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Well, we'll see. But as long as we get the win at QPR and then can beat Preston at home, hopefully we can get maximum points, but at least 4 for me, at least 4. And then we can start to hopefully see ourselves pulling away from that dreaded bottom 3, you know?
Yeah, it's a cup final every game now again, isn't it? Which is what relegation battles are like. We can't lose until the end of the season, and that's not going to happen, but that's how you guarantee your safety, because we've got all the cards, we've got all the points to play for at the moment. So, you know, it's still just within our hands at the moment. We've got like 1 goal better than Huddersfield, who sit below us. But if we can win on Saturday, win on Friday, sorry, and then maybe get a point against Preston, who are pretty decent, to be fair to them, I think we'll be okay, really. You know, we just need to keep on consistently, you know, getting a point or getting a, just snicking a win or something like that. So we need to do what we've been throwing away recently, which is just 1-0 defeats, really. Like Millwall, we lost 1-0 to Watford. You know, we can't be doing that. We've got to be doing that to other teams. You know, we've got to be sticking it out right until the end and then trying to nick it when we can, which I thought we were going to do against Millwall, but then obviously we just typical blows and threw it away, really.
Tommy, the one thing I would say, this isn't a difficult run in. In my view, I'd put a line through Leicester. That's, you know, just anything's a bonus there.
Yeah, true.
Not Norwich at home. If he gets to the last game of the season, then, you know, I mean,
it's trouble, yeah.
Kill me now. I think the other six games, you know, I'd be disappointed if we don't get a point from all of those six. You know, game by game, if we were doing a preview of each game, I would not be saying that we'd be losing to any of them. And, you know, that's not because I'm an eternal optimist. I just don't think they're great sides. I don't think we'll get anything out of Leicester. And I think if we have to get something at home against Norwich, you wouldn't back against us being at home and what it's going to mean. But they're sixth. And if they've got nothing to play for, I take us to beat them. But if they're still potentially there or thereabouts in the top six, that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I don't particularly rate this Championships league either, really. I think in recent years, like, it's been really difficult because obviously teams like Leeds, Villa and those teams have been down in recent years. But like, this one don't feel as difficult. I mean, obviously Leicester is obviously, they're going to pull away with the league eventually. But I don't know, some of the middle table teams, I mean, like, it shows really with how tight the league is, you know. I think still from about where we are to about 12th, there's like 2 points between the whole difference, really. You know, it's like, it's an incredibly tight gap, really. Not 2 points, I've just realised how stupid that is, actually. It's about five or six. Yeah, it's about five or six. It's about two from where we are to about 16th, I think. So that it's very tight, really, within the league. So I agree. I don't think there are many standout teams aside from Leicester and maybe Leeds, you know, or Ipswich, perhaps, you know. But like, apart from that, the rest of the league is all fair play, in my opinion. So
yeah, and it boils down to, we've got, you know, if we play well, we'll get something because we've got a good enough squad to get something. If we if we turn out and we're not up for it, then again, on the flip side of that, the sides are good enough to do a Millwall on us. Millwall are garbage.
They were poor against us.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, well, just all about being consistent, isn't it? Now, for me, I'm not bothered about the performance so much. You know, it's just about the result in it. And I'd rather win ugly than lose playing well. You know.
Yeah. Agreed.
We've done that a lot this season, haven't we? We played well in a lot of games we lost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true. I think under Rooney, like, the football wasn't particularly that bad, really. It was a bit dull and dire at times, but because of the way we were about the club at the time, it was like, it just added to it, really. But if you just strip everything away from the game itself, I don't think the games themselves were really that bad. It was just where it was in the season that really just added to it. I don't really concede a difference with where we are at the moment either as well. You know, the performances haven't changed really since Rooney has left, and we're still in that slump, really.
Well, I think my view is, if we play well for an hour against Ipswich, that's it. We were absolutely shocking. Naive, just devoid of anything. Just nothing. No method. And as soon as he got tight, Southampton away, where did the No Fear football go then? It's the most defensive side I've seen picked since, well, God knows when. So his arse went. The difference is, Eustace, I would put as a decent manager. I think he's still improving. I don't think he's any more than that because he's only been doing it long enough. Mowbray is a very good manager. And that's where you saw a tune, a bit of proper trying to play football. And he'd actually have the gumption after the game to say, even when we won, yeah, still unhappy with X, Y, and Z. That's a proper manager. So we're hoping with Gary, we've got a proper manager. And there's method to the madness. But yeah, I mean, the whole Rooney thing, yeah. I've always said it. What motivation did he have to be successful? He earned more money in five seasons playing for United than we've spent on transfers in our history. There you go.
It never clicked with Blues fans, did it? It was just never going to work. And yeah, I feel like I think me and my dad had a similar feeling when we were driving to the first game against Borough, because we were feeling quite optimistic until that point. And then we were driving to Borough, and I think it was Ashley Cole who gave an interview or something like that. And we both just felt, oh, I don't know about this now. It just suddenly feels all a bit, I don't want to say forced, but it's kind of the way I felt about it. It just felt, it didn't feel right all of a sudden. You know, I felt the optimism from the idea of Rooney, because if it worked, it would have been fantastic. But then I'm starting to see the other additions to his coaching staff, and I'm thinking, oh, this might not be quite the right way going forward, which is obviously proven that way because the results have decreased and we are still in this situation even though he's gone.
But I think, you know, footballers are human beings. So when you watch Wayne Rooney do a press conference, as a person, are you buying that? Because I know I'm not. So the players won't be. Once you get past he's an England legend and everything else, and you cut to the chase of he's there to do a job, am I going to follow him? Am I going to give absolutely everything for him the way that he comes across? Probably not. When Mowbray does, 100%. When Eustace did, even at pre-season when he was having him out for not, you know, putting a shift in, and Rowett will do exactly the same, because footballers are only like all of us, and they will lead, they'll go and follow a leader that's actually got credibility. Exactly, and that's why, yeah, I think we've got a decent chance. Rooney didn't have it. He couldn't speak.
He didn't have the, I mean, like he's definitely a nice guy. You know, I met him at the open house and he was a very nice guy, very considerate. But he just didn't give that leader vibes off, like you're saying. You know, the people want competent leaders. I'm definitely saying Rooney's not a competent leader, but he definitely hasn't got that vibe around him where he's like demanding your focus all the time. He was just a bit too casual for me, and perhaps the players saw through that, and when they needed some real good guidance, they didn't really get that from them. You know, so I don't know, and obviously it's all, again, a little bit of speculation from that, but yeah, it's one of those, really.
Did Rooney get another job as a manager?
Who knows? You never know, because there might be a time when Everton might need an interim manager and they think, well, we've gone through a different few managers. Why not go for Wayne Rooney? He's had a couple of hard jobs in the Championship, but it might just be the thing that spurs him on. Things like that happen, you know. I mean, like, I remember Paul Lambert a couple of years ago. We're talking about 10 years ago probably now, but he had a terrible run of manager jobs and he somehow still got a good Premier League job out at the end of it. It's like managers sometimes, when they get worse, they somehow manage with a better job in the end. It baffles me sometimes, really.
Be interesting. Yeah. As a big England fan as well, you know, we've got some great young English players coming through now, and you want the next crop of good young English managers as well, don't you? But it just doesn't seem to have happened at all. But, you know, you can count on one hand now the decent English managers in the game, can't you?
But the thing is, Paul, it's where you're looking. You know, Eustace, that was his, well, apart from Kiddy Arias, that was his first job.
Yeah.
And he did a bloody good job in impossible circumstances. So, and this is why boards make appointments by Rooney, like Rooney, because they get absolutely obsessed with the name and they're not actually interested in whether he can do the job or not. But there could be somebody. I mean, look at Rooney's number two at Derby, Rossini. Yeah. He's done all right, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
He's done all right, hasn't he? So, and he's not a massive name, but, you know, he's. So I think they're there. They just need to be given the chance.
Yeah, they respect
Gary O'Neill's another one, anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the idea with, I hate the idea anyway, really. Just like this sort of, I don't know what term it is, but it's sort of name chasing mentality. I've never appealed to it, you know. I don't understand it really as well. It just doesn't really appeal to me in a weird way. It's kind of like people who flash all their money on Instagram or stuff like that. You know, it's like, we know you're Wayne Rooney, and we know you've got all this money to this person on Instagram, but it's like, what are you going to do with that? You know, what are you actually doing that? But then where Liam Rossini, who's not as big a name as Wayne Rooney, he's a better manager. So it's one of those, really. I think people need respect as a manager. And obviously, Wayne Rooney can get all the respect as a footballer, you know, absolutely sensational player.
Absolutely.
But as a manager, you can't have that same respect that Liam Rossini has. But then people would argue, but Wayne Rooney was this player. It's like, no. Liam Rossini is this manager, you know, and so is all the other managers that have come that are doing decent jobs as well, like Gary O'Neill, like his name's gone from my head now. Old Chelsea one, Graham Potter. There we go. I was going to say who I actually was about to say.
Reality is Rooney had more impact as a player this season than he did as a manager. He could have still done a job playing for us.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You could even throw Eddie Howe's name in there as well. He wasn't a fantastic
exactly.
Player. Yeah.
So, I mean, the last English manager to actually win a trophy was Harry Redknapp at Portsmouth in 2008. That's just insane, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whilst we're talking about Rooney, I think one last thing on Rarit, though, is the fact that the fans will be massively behind it all, really. It just will bring the fans back together, and particularly that first home game I'm looking forward to now. I feel like we can capitalise on something like that, and I'll be disappointed if we can't as well. But obviously QPR's next, so we need to focus on that first, and as a fan base and as individual fans, all we can do is hope that they're going to get a good result. But yeah, I think that's all we've got time for, really, guys. Thank you very much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure for talking to you guys for about an hour now. Be sure to go and check out the Tilt and Talk show. Paul, obviously, he's dropped in from the great show. The guys run it every week. We'll be sure to bring you guys back for more episodes. Obviously, John will be sure to bring you back as well. It's been great chatting to you guys tonight. Thank you to everybody who joined in on the chat. Sorry if we didn't read out as many questions as usual. I'm back at university, so my Wi-Fi isn't the best. It's been flickering in and out every now and then, so I've just been monitoring that. But it's been jumping about the screen as well, so you guys seem to be talking at times, and then I'm like, it's been a bit of a mare, really. But yeah. Thank you guys for watching. Blues, and see and keep right on.
Cheers.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share box ready to go. Your mates are already booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.